Welcome to the God-Centered Recovery Podcast, brought to you by Narrow Gate Ministries. This podcast is dedicated to giving you a God-centered approach to recovery and to life. Follow along. Let's get started.
All right, men, welcome back to the God-Centered Men's Recovery Show. I am your host, Tim Holloway, and I am glad to be back at you again. Hey, look, if you stumbled on the show, you stumbled onto the right place. This is a show dedicated to Christian men inside of recovery who want to live an awesome, spirit-filled life. So if that's you, you come to the right place. You want to rock it. You want to thrive inside of discipleship, inside of your life. This channel is definitely for you. We're going to get into the recovery quote of the day, and it goes like this. It's not that some people have willpower and some don't. It's that some people are ready to change and others are not. I wanted to talk to you a moment about willpower. I heard this quote quite a while ago, but it said that if you give God your will, he gives you his power. And so when we think about willpower and that concept, we get an idea of what it means to us as Christian men inside of recovery. Now, thinking that we could pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and just like accomplish life and have the talent, skills, and resources to be successful in all of these different things, what we fail to understand is the source. And that is, God is the one who equips us. He is the one that makes us able, and he is the one that makes us ready. And so this idea of willpower, if we give God our will, he gives us his power, is the ultimate powerful statement. Jesus said this in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he knew that he was going to face the cross, he was going to face all of this pain, and that he was going to die for the sins of humanity. He said that he desired to have this cup pass from him, right? He looked at the cup, he looked at the suffering and says, you know what? I don't particularly want to drink this, right? And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Now, how many times in life do we come to a situation where we don't really want to partake in? Like there's a cup that comes our way, a cup of suffering, a cup of affliction, a cup of misunderstanding. And it's like, no, you know, I'm going to pass. I don't want to drink that. But what Jesus taught us was this ultimate surrender. And that is this, is that if we give God our will, he gives us his power. And I think as Christians, we need to rise above living on our own discipline and our own willpower. And that is coming to the ends of ourselves and of our flesh and saying, you know what, I don't particularly have what it takes to live this awesome, abundant life, but I'm willing to surrender myself to get the power necessary to begin to walk out this amazing life that God has for me. And that is a powerful reality. You know, some people are not ready to change. And some people are. If you're relapsing every weekend, you're probably not ready to change, right? And that's just the truth of the matter. And the sooner that you look at that reality and face the truth, it's better off for you to begin to grow and to make step forward. But some people are just not willing to change. And I thoroughly believe that disgust is the biggest motivating power to change. If you get disgusted enough about a certain situation in your life, it is going to motivate you to action. And that is if there's an area inside of your marriage that isn't quite right, if it builds enough disgust and dissatisfaction within you, it's going to motivate you to begin to make the steps necessary to change that. If there is disgust inside of your body and the way you've been managing your health and what you've been eating and this, that, and the other thing, then it's going to build a sense of disgust and dissatisfaction to the point where you're going to experience change. Here's the danger, though. And we know it as these loving, codependent, coddly people that just want to love people to death. Is that we try to protect them from that disgust, right? We see people in misery. We see people in their disgust and in their funk and in the consequences of their behavior, right? And we see them and we want to rescue them out of the disgust. And what that means is we want to cushion their bottom. We want to make it so we come to the rescue, and so we save them, and so we can give it ourselves a pat on the back, and so we can feel good about ourselves. But the reality is that we're doing them a great disservice. And what we're doing is we're taking away the disgust that it was meant to motivate them to change. The reality is if they stew inside of their mess for a good period of time, it could possibly build up the disgust that is necessary for change and forward action. But we want to be the savior. We want to come and rescue. And we're doing them a great disservice. Let reality hit people. Let them feel the pain and the consequences of their decisions. And just maybe the disgust will get to a level where it's intolerable and change will begin to take place. That is a powerful reality. Recovery question of the day. It goes like this. How do I get rid of my shame over the things that I have done while I was hooked on drugs or while I was on alcohol and drunk? Man, this is a powerful, powerful question. And it is something that happens inside of our lives. If you've been into the depths of addiction, you've hurt people. If you have succumbed to pornography, you have hurt people. If you have done these things, people are affected by your behavior. And looking at that and facing the truth about that is what we need, the dose of reality that we need. The reality is that we have done things that we have regretted and we have caused a lot of pain. That's the facts. So where do we go from here? Facing the reality and the decisions that you've made that have caused a lot of people pain. And this is what repentance is all about. It's looking at your actions and your behavior and seeing that the pain that it caused others and saying, you know what? I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to no longer pursue this course of action because this course of action is bringing a lot of people pain. So first off, that is the number one thing that we could do is begin to make different choices, new decisions. This shows that we have actually had a change of heart and that God's process is beginning to work in our heart and it's affecting our belief systems and it's manifesting inside of our behaviors. And so that is definitely the first part of the process. The next part of the process is owning it. So you're owning it, you're taking responsibility for it. And what that means is that you're going to make things right. And that is that if you can make restitution in some way, if that is in the form of apology, if that is in the form of restitution of money, of damages, if that's in the form of turning yourself in and doing the time for the crime that you have committed, that's all part of the process. And so we got to understand that making things right is part of this shame removing scenario. The fact is we feel shame and we ought to feel shame. We have done some very shameful things and we have done some things that we should be ashamed of. And so removing the shame by telling yourself that you're such a wonderful person or that wasn't your intentions and all of those things, that doesn't bring the change necessary. Holding yourself accountable, being responsible, making things right. Those are the things that begin to take away the shame and the guilt that you are experiencing. And so we got to understand that we have violated our conscience and we have done things that we have not approved of. And what that boils down to is that we don't really no longer respect ourselves. We don't admire ourselves anymore. And so we have to be able to produce the change, the restitution, make things right so we can view ourselves as honorable again. So we can view ourselves as someone that we respect and someone that we look up to. Now, next to God. I mean, when we violate His trust and when we disrespect Him and we think His view and opinion of us changes and this, that. But then it comes to us that we look at ourselves and our view and opinion of ourselves changes also. And so you have to show God and you have to show yourself that you have made a commitment to change and that you are willing to make things right. And this will communicate to your heart and your mind that you are a person who is worthy of admiration and worthy to be respected. So we are getting into our topic and we are in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2. And we're talking about knowing wisdom and instruction and perceiving the words of understanding. And what we're doing is laying a foundation here for us to understand what wisdom truly is. And if you want to go back to the previous episodes, you could do this. We are at the 11th episode. You could go back and you could check that out and see what we've been talking about thus far. But I'm laying a foundation, and it's a very important foundation because for us to understand the book of Proverbs, we must understand that God is our Father. And that is looking at this book. We know that Solomon wrote most of the book. I think there might be a chapter at the end that might be questionable. But Solomon wrote the book and he wrote it to his sons. And he wrote it to the young men out there. And so this is highly relevant because on the spiritual side, as we read this, we should read it from a father to a son. And that is that our Father has words for us, words of encouragement, words of admonition, words of warning, danger, and all of these different things. And so to thoroughly understand the rest of the topic that we are going to cover over these months is to thoroughly understand that the Father is speaking. And when you open up this book, think of it like this. That God the Father is speaking to me, His Son, His child, to give me wisdom, encouragement, instruction, correction. Okay? And so we're going to talk about that through the rest of this episode, and then we'll probably get into moving on in the verses. But verse 2 there, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So God is the Father. He is here to us for to experience, know, and to be intimately acquainted with wisdom, and that we would know instruction, that we'd be willing and open to His instruction and perceive the words of understanding. So God is our parent. God is our Father. So what I want to do in this episode is to really destroy some false concepts of fatherhood. And we get these because we live in a fallen world. And we're in an environment where fathers fail. Fathers miss the mark. Fathers fail to represent God upon this earth. And we can only look at the communities that are full of fatherlessness and see the devastating effects of absentee fathers. Right? And so destroying these concepts is really looking at the common modality or the common mindset of fathers that are, you know, inside of the world today and ask ourselves, have we projected those mindsets upon God? And the first one is the authoritarian. The authoritarian father, he favors and enforces strict obedience. The only thing that is on this father's mind is that you obey him. And we have projected this mindset upon God and that he's only concerned. Now, of course, God wants you to yield to the Spirit, and because he's all knowing and he knows the path and he knows which way to walk and he has your best interests at heart. So we know that God wants us to yield to him. But the authoritarian says the only thing that he cares about is that you obey. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. As a father, you can relate to this and to your child. Now, is the only thing that you care about with your child is that they obey you? Is that the only thing that matters to you? And you look at that and you say, well, no, you know, a lot of things matter to me. I'm not strictly wanting obedience only, right? But somehow we being evil, we wouldn't even adopt that mindset, but we project that mindset upon God. And here's the reality that if God wanted 100% obedience, he would not have made man. He would not have created us in his image with the free will and to be sovereign like he is. That means is that we have the ability to act and to do certain behaviors when and where we want to, right? God would have never created a human with that capabilities if his ultimate intention was control and obedience. That would just be something he would not do. And unless he wanted to be frustrated all the time, right? And so we see and understand that this authoritarian concept that requires strict obedience is a fatherhood that we have seen in the world. You know, the strict military parent who has everything, every jot and tittle crossed and all of these different things. And everybody walks the line. If anybody steps out of line, they get their butt beat. And all of these things, we know how this plays out. We've seen it. We've had fathers like that. Or we have seen it, you know, inside of the world. So this father concept is only really concerned about obedience, and he doesn't have any concern for the wishes and the opinions of others, right? He's very domineering. He's very he's a dictator. He isn't concerned about what anybody else wants. And this is a father that uses only punishment, right? And you see the kids, I've seen them, in public with their fathers, and they are well behaved. They don't act up. They just sit there. They're respectful and they do what they're told. And they do what they're told because of the fear and the intimidation of what would happen if they didn't. And so they might have good behavior, but the good behavior is only because of the fear of punishment. And they're scared. They step out of line and they are going to get hurt. And this is the way mafia operates. This is the way gangs operate. This is the way some political climates operate. And that is if you dissent, if you voice your opinion, if you have an idea that is contrary to the party, they'll whack you. And that is literally, figuratively, and reality. Inside of the mafia, the way they operate, you know, they operate on this thing. It is a dictatorship. The only thing that we want is strict adherence to what the boss wants. And the orders get carried down from the boss to the underboss, to the soldiers, to the acquaintances, right? And so we see that system and that modality, and it's taking place in church. And we somehow think that this is the way God operates, that he's this dictator father who only wants to use fear and punishment to get his way. Now, I do believe that, God has set up the law of sowing and reaping, and he will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. But that doesn't mean that God's going around punishing us all the time. We punish ourselves. And if you experience the depths of addiction and all of this stuff, the consequences that have came into your life is because the seeds that you were sowing and the actions that you were doing. And so you got certain results and certain consequences. God didn't need to step off the throne to come down and punish you because you were doing a fine job just by yourself, right? And so getting out of this concept, you know what, that God is not this authoritarian. If we violate the rules, he's not going to punish us in a severe manner. That this is the mindset that punishment is the answer to everything. And if that were the case, then there wouldn't be so much recidivism rate inside of America, where people that go to prison, they often return, right? And they go through punishments. They go to the hole. They get deprived of liberty and happiness and all of these different things. And they get punished severely. And of course, they continue on the path that they're on. And we know and understand that punishment alone does not accomplish behavior change. And so coming out of this authoritarian mindset will help us a lot. This is the kind of father that says, you know what? I don't really care what's going on in my child's life. I don't really care the reason behind what they did. A good, hard, severe butt weapon will fix it really quick. And so we project that upon God and we look at our misbehaviors, right? The times where we fall short, the times where we don't measure up. And we come to the conclusion that God is going to give this severe whooping that is going to soon teach us a lesson that we won't soon forget. And we project this dictatorial God, Father, upon God. If there's anything wrong with my child, I'll beat it out of him. It doesn't matter how much punishment or beating you give, as long as you get results, right? These are the authoritarian father mindset. All that matters is conformity. And we think God has that same mindset, that the only thing that he's concerned about is us conforming to his will. And it's kind of sick. You hear these fathers say, because I said so, because this is the way it's going to be. It's my way or the highway. And I don't really care if you like me. The only thing that I really concerned about is that you respect me. I don't care about love. I don't care about communication. The only thing that I want for you is to fall in line. And we have churches operate in this fashion that the rules, the regulations are more important than the people. This is the kind of father that dictates where their kids go to college, dictates what kind of relationship and wife they have, dictates what kind of job and future that they hold. And it's very controlling and very domineering. And we see this kind of fatherhood. Jesus says this. It says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. And those who are great exercise authority over them, yet it should not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you must be the slave. So what he was saying and establishing here is that fatherhood and leadership is all about serving. If you look at everything in the Bible and what God has accomplished and provided for man, he became a servant and he laid down his life that we could come into the family and come into the fold. And that is far, far different from this dictator mindset that we have. The next one is the permissive. Now, I've had a permissive father, and this father, you know, it's just the flip side of the same coin. We have the dictators on one side and the permissives on the other. It's the yin and the yang, and neither of them are very effective. I've had a permissive father that, you know, he was only concerned about relating to me and being like a friend and doing drugs together and all of these different things. And there was no guidelines. There was no standards. There wasn't, it was kind of a laid back sort of relationship. Everything was cool. Everything was happy. There was no confrontations. There was this enabling that you would participate in your kids' problems and help them actually achieve the lust and the desires that they wanted. So there's no boundaries. They're besties. They're buddies, right? And we see this kind of fatherhood play out. And I'm telling you, man, we project this fatherhood style upon God that he's our bestie, right? And that he is there. He's the cool God. He's the hippie God. He's the rock star God, right? And he becomes the father with no boundaries. Anything goes, partake, do what you want. He's very false with this loving all grace message that that he's here to give you everything that you want. And you'll have that life on easy street, and everything is wonderful, and everything is peachy, and all of these things. And he's your personal lover. This has been propagated inside of evangelical circles that we're to relate to God as this personal, intimate lover, and all of these different things that are taking place. And we have projected this laid back, this permissive style of fatherhood that we have seen in the world, or we may have had ourselves, and we project it upon God. So here's what we have. We have on the far right, we have this very dictator rules, regulations. This is what is important. I'll beat this into you. And then on the left side here, we have the permissive, the I love you. Nothing you could have. You're wonderful. Nothing you ever do is wrong. You're just a wonderful, and you're a beautiful soul. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not wonderful. But the reality is if you are doing very negative behaviors and you are hurting people, I can tell you that you're not wonderful, right? And that's what this reality fails to really communicate. And here is another one, and that is the uninvolved. And man, we have really projected this upon God. But this is the fatherhood style that is too busy, right? He's too concerned with the things that he has at work. He's too concerned with everything that he has to do. The kids kind of like non-exist. There's not much of communication going on. And so we see this projected upon God also, that he really doesn't care, that he is not concerned, that he is... you know, in this reality that he is some kind of spectator just watching the things that are going on. And so he's not participating in life together with his family, but he has withdrawn from it, and he is, you know, somewhere else. And this mindset and this belief system has definitely been projected upon God. Well, we fail to understand that the very hairs in our head are all numbered. And there's not even a sparrow that falls to the ground without our Father recognizing that it took place. And so he's very attentive and very attention to detail. He knows what's going on, and he knows what's taking place. So here's what we got to understand, is that these three concepts of fatherhood, they are not connected to the reality of who God is. He doesn't just want compliance. He is concerned about with your feelings. He is concerned about with what you want. He is not the rock star father who's only concerned about being your friend and has no standards and no limitations and stuff like that. And he's not the father who stands aloof, that isn't really concerned with what is going on into your life. And so in the next episode, I'm going to talk to you about the kind of father that you can expect to come through the words of these pages. This is a father that wants to teach wisdom. This is a father that wants to encourage, support, and uplift. But this is a father that also wants to provide structure, discipline, and correction, because that is what we need to stay on the course. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hit subscribe and hit like, and I will see you again tomorrow. Peace.